Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. In Native American Studies classes, students learn about Native history, sovereignty, and other indigenous issues. These programs are also called American Indian Studies or Indigenous Studies. Have you ever wondered what people do with their degrees after they graduate? And if you've never taken any of these courses, are you missing out? We'll ask students and instructors about why Native American Studies is important right after National Native News. We hope you'll join the conversation.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Native Americans living in Montana have some of the best representation at the state level in the country. Nikki Ouellette reports that regardless of election results, this year will be no different.
Enough Native Americans are running unopposed or against other Native Americans that tribal members are guaranteed 8 of the 150 seats in the House or Senate. 10 tribal members are running for office. The racial makeup of Montana's legislature started resembling the state's population demographics in 2003, right around the time the state redrew its House districts to boost the Native vote. Longtime legislator Jonathan Windy Boy, a member of the Chippewa Cree tribe, says electing a robust yet diverse Indian caucus means Native American issues garner more attention.
We're not going to agree on everything, and so we try to address some of the issues that we all come to a consensus on.
Recently, those issues include tribal water compacts, Medicaid expansion, and a language preservation bill the Indian Caucus pushed for that passed in 2013. The growth of the Indian Caucus has also attracted allies who add heft to the caucus's vote.
When you take a look at the representation, as far as the legislature, you know, there has to be a point in time where the recognition of the tribal people and the caucus as well is important.
Windy Boy is looking to November 9th, when legislators will begin jostling for leadership positions. He's hoping his and other tribal members' long track records in the Senate and House will win them key positions. Equal representation, or parity, is relatively easy in a state like Montana, where Native Americans account for roughly 7% of the total million people living there. Nearly 100 tribal members across the country are running for state office. Oklahoma and Arizona both approach parity, with 9 and 8 tribal members running, respectively. I'm Nikki Ouellette.
As a group, Native Americans traditionally vote Democrat. The party's platform often aligns with many Native issues, but there are also pockets of conservative Native voters, most notably in Oklahoma. Allison Herrera has more.
Democratic candidates reached out to Native voters with platforms zeroing in on issues such as tribal sovereignty, treaty responsibilities, and other issues, which was not widely apparent in the Trump campaign. But now, Trump's campaign has pieced together a new group called the Native American Coalition. It's made up of conservative leaders like Oklahoma Representative Mark Wayne Mullen.
When you look back as far as history goes with Indian country versus the government, it's kind of similar to what we have been fighting for many, many years, getting the government out of our way.
Mullen is Cherokee and one of only two Native Americans, both Republicans from Oklahoma, in Congress. Mullen believes that Republican ideals of strong families, self-sufficiency, and less government regulations resonate with Native American voters and garner more votes for Trump. And he's not alone.
Donald Trump said, you know, to the black people, that I think applies to Native Americans in remote areas that are economically deprived, have traditionally voted Democrats. What have you got to lose?
That's Chickasaw tribal member and former Oklahoma Secretary of Transportation Neil McCaleb. He says Native people fare worse under Democratic administrations. He acknowledges the very real problem prevalent in Native communities like alcoholism, poverty, and high suicide rates. He says Native American communities do best when they pull themselves up by their bootstraps, a key Republican philosophy. I'm Allison Herrera.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
As an American Indian or Alaska Native, you help elders, young people, and Native businesses when you exercise your right to vote. Your vote makes a difference in Washington and at home. More information at nativenews.net, brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York. Support by Northern Arizona University, a university committed to serving Native American students, offering opportunity in every direction, in Flagstaff, at community colleges around the state, and online. Learn more at nau.edu.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Native American studies programs in colleges and universities dive into the histories of treaties, federal policies, and cultural traditions, among other things. They also get in-depth with current issues like activism, law, and social justice. These courses are a chance for Native and non-Native students alike to get a different perspective on Native nations, and one that may be missing from other mainstream classes on history and the peoples of the United States and beyond. But what do people who have a Native American Studies degree do with their years of study? What kind of jobs does it lead to? At least two universities in Canada require all students to take at least one Indigenous Studies class. Could this catch on in the U.S., and could something like this change things for Native people and how people relate to our nations? Today, we want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open right now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number, and you can join our conversation and let us know what you think Native American Studies programs are bringing to both Native and non-Natives alike. 1-800-996-2848 or 1-800-99-NATIVE is the number. And now we're going to go straight to Tucson, Arizona to say hello to Dr. Martina Dolly, and she is the Assistant Curator for American Indian Relations at the Arizona State Museum. And she is Wallapai and Diné. It's our pleasure to have Dr. Dolly with us. And Dr. Dolly, welcome to the hour.
Hi. Hi from Tucson.
Thanks for being with us. And I understand most people know you by Martina.
Yes. Yes, they do. And in addition to just saying hi, I'd like to acknowledge that, you know, we are on traditional ancestral land of the Autumn people. So, yeah, when you come out this way, just know that. I'd like to acknowledge that every time I speak from here.
And Martina, I think that jumps, you know, right into the heart of educating and letting people maybe understand U.S. history or even just how places that they're standing on relate to our Native nations. Anything you want to share just about working in the arena that you are able to bring forward Native stories? How it all got started, getting your PhD degree in American Indian Studies?
Well, you know, I started at the university not really knowing about American Indian Studies. I took my very first class, my very first American Indian Studies class, which was 101 with Dr. Lomawaima, Shanino Lomawaima. And I was pretty much blown away about how much I didn't know about our own histories, about our people and where we came, you know, where we do come from and how the policies have affected us. And that was, you know, back in 97. And as I moved forward, I just kept thinking about that. The next semester, I took another class, which was the Indian Law and Policy class. And that really got me interested. Once I finished my undergrad, then I decided that taking a graduate level American Indian Studies, majoring in American Indian Studies for my graduate program was really important, especially in the area that I was interested in, which was museums and looking at our ancestors' belongings and, you know, where that all ends up and how we're represented, in that area.
And Martina, when you think about, you know, it took going to college to get this close to this kind of information, how did that make you feel?
You know, the first year, there's just this little bit of anger, a little bit of, like, frustration. You know, I grew up on the same history books, the same lessons that all of us as Americans grow up on. You know, there were a limited, there were limited resources and limited information on Native peoples, and they were all pretty much the same. And I think that was really appalling. And I, my first year was initially just frustration and anger. And then rather than, you know, being upset about it, there was a moment where I just decided, you know what, this is stuff that is out there, and it has been, it has been taught for quite a while, you know, in the, at the college level. So it's not like it wasn't out there, but as a, high school student or even an elementary school student, you know, it needs to be in that area as well.
So sure. Why wait till your years in college to get some of this kind of information? And folks, are you relating to what Martina just shared? Were you also that student who sat there in class and maybe got your first chapter done and you had similar feelings that, wait a minute, this isn't the history I was taught in high school, elementary, or even earlier? Give us a call, folks. We want to hear from you, those of you who have taken some of these courses. Anything else you want to share about what it brings to understanding of our Native nations? And if those of you who are out there are sitting there with a degree from one of these programs, tell us about that, too. How have you used it? Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And maybe you're contemplating picking up this degree. While you're going to hear from folks today who know a little bit about it, you can throw your questions at them too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Martina, I can understand if all of a sudden what you learned about Native nations other than your own throughout the years, you know, all of a sudden changes when you get to college. How do you think, you know, other students feel, maybe even people who don't come from Native nations?
That's really hard to say, and I can't really speak for people who don't come from Native nations. But I do know that as a graduate teaching assistant, where I did have the opportunity to teach classes and teach to students who are not from Native nations, their you know, their attitudes change. They were enlightened and very interested in learning more about it. And I think you really have to be able to teach those courses strategically, because if you don't, then you end up with, you know, people with resistance, you know, people feeling that you're trying to make them feel guilty. But I think letting them know that, no, this is a part of American history that has been left out, and it's something that you need to know, that it's really important to know. I mean, you know, this really brought to light who we are as Native peoples and the Native peoples that they see in everyday life. Sometimes, you know, there are these misconceptions and these ideas that have been, you know, passed on through the years, and the students I allowed them to express those stereotypes and those misrepresentations so that we could discuss it and talk about where they came from and whether or not, you know, they were really true. So, you know, in order to get through that, it was a really good opportunity. And again, you know, the students were very interested in that, in that aspect. And I would hope that I was able to help out and make some kind of difference, because again, you know, I was really surprised at the, you know, still the thought process of students who are young and fresh and learning. And you would think that we're in 2016, 15 or whatever, you know, back then. It was just, I was surprised. I think that one of the questions I got every semester was, what time does the reservation close? And I'm like, oh no. So that really led into conversations. That opened up the conversation on sovereignty. It opened up the conversation on, you know, how reservations were formed. So that was a really great opportunity to approach it from that angle. And then, of course, you know, students near the end would always ask me, why aren't you mad? You know, this is really sad and upsetting. So, well, if I'm mad, then I'm not going to be able to teach you. I'm not going to be able to share this information with you. I'm not going to be able to allow you to add that to the history that you already learned. So rather than being angry, I think it's best to really approach it and let our students, our youth, regardless of ethnicity, know, you know, their history.
Sure.
Correctly.
Use some of that energy to educate. Well, I'm glad you're sharing your story with us, Martina, and we look forward to the calls of people that want to talk to you directly. And if you want to chat with her, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go ahead and take our first call. We're going to say hello to Terry in Durango, Colorado, tuned in on KSUT. Terry, thank you for your call. And go ahead. You're on air.
Yes, Tara. I would actually like to mention that when I was in high school, we studied American history, and I went to high school in a border town in Kirtland, New Mexico, and I didn't get any adequate lessons on American in history at all. Not until I went to college. I went to a New Mexico Military Institute, and when I went there, that's when I started taking courses in Western civilization and U.S. history. But American military history was my favorite subject, and not until then did I appreciate the history of our people and our nation, because then I learned about how effective a military force our people were back in the day, and also how the Indian Wars actually shaped much of American policy today than we actually think. And so I didn't get to appreciate my people or any of our history until I went to school and learned the actual truth about the struggles of our people and the treaty rights, how the War Department had a lot to do with the way of the policies are shaped today. And what I find interesting is during the Indian Wars, we were very combative. And now today we're fighting the same wars, but on a peaceful level. Like, it's just interesting to me to see that 150 years ago, we're fighting for our survival through actual warfare with a standing army. And today, we're being non-peace. We're being very peaceful protesters against the same army again, you know?
You see a lot of parallels. Terry, thank you for your call there in Durango, Colorado. Tuned in on KSUT. What do you want to add to the hour? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go ahead and say hello to another caller. We also got another Colorado caller. Let's say hi to Belinda in Durango, tuned in on KSUT. Belinda, thank you for calling. And go ahead, you're on air.
Yes, hi. My name is Belinda Izzy, and I live in Durango, Colorado. I just received a degree in Applied Indigenous Studies from Northern Arizona University. And what I learned there, them from the colonization that started in Georgia with the Cherokee Nation and the Choctaw Nation, and we learned about the ports that transpired from those eras. And my studies took me all the way to Rome, to the Vatican, and that's what I wanted to share. A group of us from different regions in America and Canada and Chile and Africa were able to meet with Archbishop Tomasi to ask for revocation of the papal bulls. And the states are still referring to these documents to take land from indigenous peoples here. So our focus was to ask the Pope to start a process of creating a dialogue with the Native American Indians here in America and around the world. Different indigenous people are suffering from their land being seized by corporations. So we went there and met with the Archbishop to ask for revocation. And he told us that they no longer refer to the documents because these documents are ancient and they have new legislations that they refer to. So my studies was very intense, and I learned a lot about my own history. Yes, the anger was there, but I'm able to speak to people and educate people about their own colonization around the world and in America. I was able to go to Australia, to Tasmania with my class and with one of the professors from NAU.
And Belinda, I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of times Native Studies, you as an Indigenous person too, often get a chance to expand and just see how other Native people see the world, the things that they've faced and the things that they've definitely lived through and survived very strong. When we think about the possibilities of even Native Studies being for Native students, Martina, I want to get your take. Sometimes it's like when you hear people challenging, people who are taking classes like this when you come from the culture. What do you think when you hear some of that?
Well, first of all, I just want to acknowledge Terry's comment first, because, you know, that is amazing and an excellent way of, thinking about it, exhibiting that pride of how, you learn more about your culture and how strong they were and how strong their fight was and how we're still fighting. So in that aspect, I'd like to thank Terry for bringing that up. And that's what I love about teaching, is I'm also learning. And when I hear from other students, other graduates on their feelings, especially in pride and strength, that really makes me happy. And I think that adds to my not my fight, but also my learning opportunity. So yeah, that's all I wanted to say about that. But community members learn more about who they are and talk about the what they learned, I think that's something that really is important, especially in learning more about who they are and not feeling so helpless and, where we come from and why are we here. Actually, can you repeat that question again?
We can move forward, because I got another one that I want to ask you. And earlier we mentioned about universities in Canada requiring that all students take at least one class. What do you think about that? Requiring students to take at least one Native American studies, American Indian studies, Indigenous studies, however your university phrases it. What do you think about that? Requiring students at least one class. Does one class do it? Go ahead.
I think the requirement is important. That should happen. I really don't think one class would do it, but at least that's a start. The one class I actually took, the 101 class, that really helped. And I think hitting on the main topics that really get you interested in the cultures and in the government and, what's going on in Indian country, that is really important. And it should be required, not just because, we're demanding it be required. It's a part of American history. It's not something on the side. It's not something that, you know, you learn as an alternative. It's a law. It's federal law, and it's part of American history. That's why it should be required.
Indeed. Thanks for that. And folks, where do you stand on that? 1-800-996-2848 is also the number. And I know we're talking about the content of these classes, but what about people who are making sure that these classes are available? What about when it comes to teachers? Give us a ring. Anything you want to share, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Martina, we're getting close to the break here. And is there any kind of advice you have to somebody who is mulling over, should I pick up this as my major or not? Any thoughts to those students?
Yeah, if you're mulling over it, then minor in it. You know, if you have a major focus, go for that, but definitely minor in it, especially if you're Native. I can't express how important that would be, and it will help you maneuver through your program, maneuver through the policies that are in your program, and help you understand where we stand as Native peoples within this country. So definitely, if you can't make up your mind, at least think about minoring in it.
And when you think of applying it to your life, Martina, what do you have to say about applying your degree in American Indian Studies to what you're doing now, especially there at the museum?
It fully applies. It helps me understand where we are, you know, just from a historical point of view, because, you know, the museum, again, is a very historical area, you know, enriched area. So looking at the timeline of when the museum was established, looking at the timeline of when anthropology and archaeology was happening, it really helps to understand what was going on during those time periods, you know, why things were collected, why they ended up where they are today, and what's going on with them. So it is really helpful, and it helps me to understand, you know, what has been shifting. You know, things have been changing, and there's a lot of positive changes. You know, the policies are changing, museums are changing. So it's very helpful indeed. So, and in a positive way. So I wouldn't, you know, go in and start, you know, demanding anything, abnormal. It's just, you know, allowing myself to patiently think about, you know,
sure. It really enriches things. And Martina, we got to go to break here, folks. We know you want to join, pick up the phone, dial. Our phone lines are open. We look forward to hearing from you. The election is here. On the next Native America Calling, we're opening up our phone line so you can share who you're voting for and why. We'll check in with people from multiple political perspectives and even some candidates about voting. Did you vote early? Did you decide to sit this one out? We want to hear from you on our next broadcast.
Stand up and don't give up the fight. Hami Takipiki. Medicare is your prescription for a healthy life. For anyone with Medicare, Part D provides access to affordable prescription drugs. Sign up for or switch your Part D plan during open enrollment from October 15 to December 7. For more information, visit www.medicare.gov. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Doksake.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo. And often when students enroll in Native American studies programs, they learn about failed U.S. policies, broken treaties, wars, genocide, assimilation, and boarding school. And it can be an eye-opener for many students. Some instructors have told us that students sometimes get angry when they're first exposed to information that was missing, as we heard earlier in the hour. Also getting angry because it counters what they heard in other educational settings on information and maybe sometimes information that never made it to their eyes and ears when they were in high school or primary school. What do you think about that? Join our conversation today. 1-800-99-NATIVE is the number. That's also 1-800-996-2848. And maybe you spent several months of your college life in a Native American studies class. What did you think about the class you took? And what did you take away? And how are you using that in your life? Or maybe even with people in your family, young ones, next generation. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. It's our pleasure to welcome back from Tucson, Arizona, Dr. Martina Dolly. She's an assistant curator for American Indian Relations at the Arizona State Museum, and she is Wallapai and Diné. It's our pleasure to have her back. Welcome back, Martina. And Martina, we're going to start with a call. We're going to say hello to Kathy in Tucutna, Alaska, tuned in on KSKO. Kathy, thank you for your call. And what would you like to put into the conversation?
Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my call. I would just like to ask your guest, with your wealth of knowledge of Indigenous history and our past, I would just be so curious, could you please share a few of your thoughts or comments on how this history relates to present-day struggles for sovereignty rights, for treaty rights, specifically regarding Standing Rock?
All right, Kathy, hang tight. Martina, your thoughts.
It totally relates. And when you see and hear what a lot of the protectors, especially the ones who know about the treaties, that's something that needs to be fully understood. And I think things like that, when people start talking about treaty rights, it makes it really difficult for the general public to really understand what that means. And having that education, having that knowledge of, you know, what is a treaty, what is tribal sovereignty, land ownership, you know, how things were progressing along the way during Western expansion, before Western expansion, contact, all that information together gives you a better understanding of what's going on with, you know, with Standing Rock, with any other place where the protectors are standing up for not just Indigenous rights, but also human rights.
And you know, something else, Martina, that I think, you know, really comes up when we, how do you apply this? Well, when we start talking about treaties, I think anytime we hear people who are reporting from there, people who have come back from there, a lot of times they go back to that word, treaties, of this being connected to some of that. Great question, Kathy. Thank you for your call there in Tucutna, Alaska. And folks, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Also on the line with us today from Los Angeles, California, is Clementine Bordeaux, and she is an academic coordinator for the American Indian Studies program at the University of California, Los Angeles. She is Sichangu Oglala and also Oglala Lakota. It's our pleasure to have Clementine with us today. Clementine, thanks for being on the line.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. And just to echo Dr. Dolly, I'm calling from Gabrielino Tongva land, and that's where our university is situated. So I just wanted to acknowledge the indigenous people of the area as well.
Thank you for doing that. And Clementine, anything you want to add? I know we've covered several things and we've had you on the line ready to come in. Anything you wanted to follow up on?
Yeah, just echoing a lot of what has been discussed already. Our program, you know, at UCLA, we really help students kind of think about the place of Indigenous peoples in the larger context of the United States regarding law and policy and history, but also analyzing the place of Indigenous people globally. And I think just the things that are happening on Standing Rock, it's not just local issue anymore. Like, this is a stand for global environmental issues everywhere. And so I think that's one thing that we've tried to help our students discuss on campus who can't necessarily go to Standing Rock but want to talk about it. And what does this mean, you know, for future generations? And so that's one way that we've kind of tried to apply what is happening on Standing Rock to our everyday lives here at UCLA.
All right. Thanks for that. And glad you're on the line. Ladies, we have people who are making these phone lines ring who also want to jump in the conversation. And folks, if there's anything you'd like to share when it comes to American Indian Studies, what do you think about it? Also, maybe you'd like to say something about a class you attended. 1-800-996-2848. Also, what would you like to say to people who feel American Indian Studies is not the best way to spend your time in college? If you want to comment on that, give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. Let's say hello to Jake in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. Jake, thank you for giving us a ring. What would you like to share?
Well, I just want to share that I'm with a group of people. We're just coming back down from Standing Rock, North Dakota, going on our way back to Albuquerque. I'm an educator at the Native American Community Academy. And I just want to share that Native American Studies changed my life. And I really want to just emphasize that it's healing. It helps heal all of us, you know, to learn our history and then to also be able to understand, to learn from our elders. I'm here with my Unchi right here from Pine Ridge. And we're talking about all of the trauma that's happening, continuing to happen in Standing Rock, but how important it is to be able to forgive as well, to understand and forgive and to heal ourselves. And to know that our history is still continuing every single moment and that we could share so much information. I'm up here in Standing Rock to bring back to my students news from the front line, news about historic events that just happened this past weekend from elders, from the council, the Seven Fire Council, that emphasized this importance of healing and loving all people without one exception, loving all of our plant and animal life. And I feel like Native American Studies can be integrated into all different fields from science, math, history, even economics, you know, and I think that's the beauty of it. So I think the future of Native American Studies is the integration into all aspects of education, not only in university settings, but also in high school, middle school, even kindergarten that NACA is doing right now. So I just want to say, Wopila, thank you all. Thank you all for listening. There's amazing things happening right now, my brothers and sisters, and I'm just so happy to share.
All right, Jake, safe travels. Thank you for that, and glad you are definitely passing on the knowledge. And Clementine, just hearing Jake's comment and also thinking about what Martina shared earlier, how do we connect when things are going on in our Native communities or Native nations are focused in on what is going on in North Dakota? How do we make sure that we incorporate some of that, especially in Native studies classes, so that we don't have to wait decades before it finally makes it into a textbook? Can you talk about that kind of balance or maybe it's even a challenge for people who are in Native studies who just want to pick up a current topic? Let me into that world. Go ahead, Clementine.
Yes, I think, and thank you, Jake, for your comments. I think our education can be restorative and healing. But I just to think about how we connect these current topics into the classroom now, I think, especially at UCLA, we have some really awesome Native faculty. We have 10 Indigenous faculty across our campus and in all different disciplines. And I know they have all come together to kind of talk about how we discuss these issues in the classroom. And then we also try to do events on campus so that, you know, if we have community members in Los Angeles that necessarily can't go to a classroom, they can come and come to our campus and talk about these things and be able to analyze and kind of talk about it, how it, you know, affects our everyday lives, but also how we affect other disciplines. So that's one thing that I think American Indian Studies does. It kind of complements where other disciplines might lack relevant knowledge or training to talk about these Indigenous issues. And so our, you know, our faculty are across sociology, public policy, gender studies, art history, ethnomusicology. So our faculty are able to kind of bring these things into their everyday classroom in these different disciplines.
Very nice. Let's go back to the phone lines again. Anything you want to share, 1-800-996-2848. We're also interested, what kind of careers does having a degree like this or spending a good part of your college life in American Indian Studies? Share those thoughts. 1-800-996-2848 is the number, or reach out to us on social media. Our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. We're on Facebook too. And we actually asked that question on Facebook. What kind of jobs can you get with these type of degrees? And we got a response. Arne said, sort of like a degree in anthropology. Not much. What do you think about that? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And here's what Ashley said in response to today's show. She wrote, the best thing for me was the actual classes. They provided a small, nurturing environment away from my big college. That's what Ashley said on our Twitter page at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and hear more from folks out there who are interested in this. We're going to hear from Lynn in Gallup, New Mexico, listening on KGLP. Lynn, thank you for your call, and go ahead, jump in there.
Good morning. Thank you. First of all, I want to apologize for calling twice in 2 weeks because I know that a lot
like
of people
it.
Out
go
there
ahead,
have
Lynn.
Thoughts. I have a thought. It's not original, but I think it still applies, and particularly with tribal colleges and schools that serve mainly or many Native students, and that is that I fully support Native Studies departments and programs, and I've been privileged to teach classes in that area, both for Diné College years ago and for as an adjunct to UNM, University of New Mexico. But what happens often, I'm afraid, is when we have those departments and those courses, the way we compartmentalize academics and our thinking in Western institutions is that then the other departments think they're off the hook and they don't have to incorporate Native knowledge into their subjects. And you had a beautiful example a week or two when Mark Sorensen from Star School was on Native America Calling talking about the idea of the ash that's put into blue corn and Navajo foods and how that process of amoxicillation, that chemical process, creates more food value in the corn. So that's that could be something you treat in the Native American Studies class, but it could just as well be in science class or in health class.
Indeed. And you know, making those relations or making those connections, it expands how you think of the world. Lynn, thank you for your call. And don't feel bad if there are more than one topic that makes you want to call in. We like that. Great to hear from you, Lynn. Again, 1-800-996-2848. We got to toss that to our panel. What do you think about that? Letting other departments off the hook because a Native American Studies program exists. They don't have to teach Native stuff. Send it over to that department. What do you ladies think of that? Clementine, anything on that?
Yeah, I agree to that to some level, but I also think that our program has the ability to kind of challenge other departments to then cross-list courses. So we have cross-listed courses with you know, in public health, in public policy, in anthropology, in history. So the thing that we try to do is that it's not only AIS, but we're trying to hold other departments accountable to our program and our studies and our knowledge as well.
All right. Thank you for that. Let's take another call. We're going to say hi to Kenneth in Los Angeles, California, tuned in online. Kenneth, you're on air.
Hi. Hello. My name's Kenneth. I'm from the Brona Band of Mission Indians and Pequeño Ipai. But I'm greeting you today from Los Angeles, so the Gabrielino Tongva land. But yeah, I actually have my degree in American Indian Studies from UCLA. And it was really surprising, actually, because I came in undeclared. But I ended up, falling into this program. But it was really transformative and very has somewhat laid the foundation for kind of like what I want to do for the rest of my life. I really recommend that Native students just take an American Indian Studies course, or if everyone could like at least minor in it, it's so beneficial. You really, I grew up on the reservation, but I grew up pretty much sheltered or somewhat unaware of a lot of the history and just all kinds of different stuff, the issues that my community faces, that other community faces. So American Indian Studies really kind of helped me deeper understand myself and my family and my tribe and my commitment to my community. And I think that you can do anything with American Indian Studies. I mean, it's just your bachelor's. I mean, I just have my bachelor's, but really it's like, it's at the foundation of thinking critically in a decolonial indigenous framework. And I think you can apply that to everything. And I'm really lucky to have gone to UCLA. It was, Clementine was just saying, it's interdisciplinary. I was taking gender studies. I was taking all these different types of courses, sociology, just everything, world arts and cultures. And it was great to find a program that could match my real view, I guess, as a Native person, where something in the Western institution, I found something that can speak to me specifically and help me on my way.
Kenneth, great to hear from you there in Los Angeles. And maybe you are a student who has similar enthusiasm. You can give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. What is it about these type of programs that have helped your life? Maybe even, as Kenneth shared, finally found something where he could put it all together. Again, phone lines are open, 1-800-99-NATIVE, or send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Martina, is there anything you'd like to share just hearing from all of the folks across the nation?
Oh, definitely. Hi, Clementine.
Hi.
yeah, it's so awesome. But just everyone is, I think we all have very common understanding. We share the same enthusiasm. But I think your question about the textbooks and the inclusion of American Indian Studies. American Indian Studies, although it's either a program or possibly a department in different universities, just the idea of studying American Indian peoples or histories, incorporating it into other departments, that is really important. And I know at the university here at the U of A, there is that component. We do have, as Clementine expressed at UCLA, we have, it's an interdisciplinary program where all these different things are included in our different areas, public health, arid lands, goodness, I can go on and on. We have a huge community here, and it's just bringing everybody together, and I think that's happening. It's happening. It's been happening for the past couple of years. We have a dynamic group of people, and we do our best to try to partner and collaborate with each other. And it is super important to incorporate our histories and our knowledge into other disciplines. I do my best not only to work with other departments that are specific to Native peoples, but other departments such as nutrition science, which is really important because, time and time again, I mean, so many examples, but a really good example is, many of us Native peoples get so tired of people, you know, thinking that fry bread is indigenous. It's not. It's a survival food. And to really know that we do have a rich, not history, but we do have a rich culture. We do have a rich background in nutritional foods. And there are people out there. There are historians. There are scientists. There are artists. There are so many Native experts out there who may not have, you know, a Western degree that we can cite their paper or whatever. But there are people who are amazing and know their I wouldn't want to say craft, but they know their expertise in what they do, you know, be it creating arts and ceramics and, you know, basketry, but people who are knowledgeable in nutrition, people who are knowledgeable in exercise, people who are knowledgeable in, you know, government, Native nation building. Goodness, all these people I want to name. But
and Martina, so Martina, just hearing that, you're reminding me of, you know, many great voices that you can connect to. It's why folks were able to do 5 shows a week. We know there's a lot of great folks out there, and sometimes it's just educating or connecting people with these great stories. And I think we got some great stories coming out today from both of our guests, and we want to put you in that category too, Martina. And as we get close to the end of the hour in thinking about this, I think we've heard a lot of good words, people sharing why they feel this is important. What about inside the university itself? Clementine, is there ever a struggle where even people who are running universities or figuring out how you categorize classes, whether it's an elective or not, is there ever the struggle to bring the importance directly to, you know, institutions of how important these classes are, or even giving it the honor of making it a degree in an institution? Clementine?
Yes, I think there is always a struggle. And unfortunately, we've been at UCLA for over 40 years, but we still struggle with a lot of these issues of just being recognized or understood on campus. And a lot of times it's because there's a lack of understanding, you know, from elementary level all the way up to the university, where they're still lacking knowing about our communities. And so it's important that we are here, but it's unfortunate that we do have to continuously educate our counterparts and our colleagues on campus.
And what can be done if there are people who, you know, are picking up this degree or even taking the teacher roles and they do have to face some of that? How do you make sure that these different programs are given the weight they deserve?
I think we have a lot of really great up-and-coming scholars through the university that are doing research and doing dissertations and writing theses that really cover accountability of institutions. And so I think just encouraging this academic community and also understanding that our work is also activism. We are activists within the campus in trying to change the way people understand and disseminate information about Indigenous communities. And so I think it's just being really active and supportive and creating critical mass on our campus and on all campuses across, you know, this nation.
And when we do think about support of this, I guess a question too in thinking about this show, who has the right to teach these classes? Your thoughts on that, Clementine?
Oh, well, I would love to have all Native faculty, but I also think because there's a great article by one of our faculty, Dr. Duane Champagne, that's called American Indian Studies is for Everyone. And it kind of covers, you know, what American Indian Studies can cover, but also this allyship that we develop when people come to American Indian Studies and teach our knowledge systems and our histories. We do need those allyships, and there will be non-Natives teaching these classes, but I think ultimately non-Native faculty need to train Native students to replace them in the future. And that's just my opinion. That probably is not the sentiment across the academy, but I think in, you know, seven generations, we want Native faculty teaching Native and non-Native students.
All right. And Clementine, if anybody wants to connect with you in the program, where do they find you?
They can visit our website, AmericanIndianStudies.ucla.edu, and my information is listed. You can email me, call me. We're also on Facebook, so you can find American Indian Studies at UCLA.
All right. And that's actually time, folks. We're going to have to wrap up our discussion on Native American studies. And of course, if there is still more you want to say or something triggered you to think about a show you'd like to hear, please reach out to us. You can always send an email to comments@nativeamericacalling.com. You can also post directly on our Facebook, or you can send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Thanks again to our guests, Dr. Martina Dolly, as well as Clementine Bordeaux. And we hope that you'll also join us again tomorrow as we take a look at what presidential candidate Native American and Alaska Natives are hoping to vote in. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Senior producer is Monica Brain. Associate producer is Andy Murphy. Roman Garcia engineered today's show. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host and producer, Tara Gatewood, and we are just starting this week. There's plenty more ahead. Visit us online, nativeamericacalling.com, and you can get a full listing of who we are going to be speaking with this week. And you can also find our archives and listen to a show that you want to hear again or explore Native America. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow.
A world-class education is within your reach at SIPI, the Southwestern Indian Polytechnic Institute in Albuquerque. This historic National Indian Community College, located in the center of New Mexico's agriculture and technology corridor, offers affordable two-year degrees in science, engineering, liberal arts, and career technical training. Spring enrollment information is at sipi.edu. You can expect success when you take charge of your future today.
As an American Indian or Alaska Native, there is one simple thing you can do to help your elders, help young people seeking an education, and help develop Native businesses. Exercise your right to vote for the candidates of your choice on November 8th. Your vote on Election Day makes a difference in Washington, D.C. and at home. Vote for our people, our land, and our future. Know your rights and go to NativeAmericaCalling.com for more information. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kawanak Broadcast Corporation.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.